So this session here, good morning everybody. Today we're going to be talking about how to accelerate Windows 10 deployments through telemetry-driven insights using Upgrade Analytics, which is a bit of a mouthful, but basically we're going to be talking about this Upgrade Analytics product that I'm sure many of you have already heard of. By show of hands, is anybody familiar with Upgrade Analytics? Awesome. Is anybody using Upgrade Analytics within their enterprise? Awesome. That's good. So nobody's using it yet, at least as far as I can tell. So what we'll be doing today is we'll be talking about some of the benefits that you can gain by using the tool, as well as how you can kind of keep up with this Windows 10 release cadence through telemetry-driven insights. So my name is Zach Dvorak. I am a program manager with Microsoft on the Windows compatibility team. If you can't tell from my accent, I am not from around here. I did come from Redmond. And so we're obviously making a big push in the enterprise upgrade space. We want to, you know, make it as easy as possible for enterprises to be able to get to 10 and stay current on 10. And Upgrade Analytics is really the embodiment of that commitment. So let's start by talking about Windows 10. So right now, we have over 400 million devices running Windows 10 in the ecosystem at large. So that includes enterprise and consumer. And then in the enterprise space, we have over 52 million devices running Windows 10. So adoption has been great, and the feedback from it has been incredible so far. And so our job as Microsoft is to keep taking the feedback from the ecosystem and continue to make the tool better. And through the Windows 10 release cadence, we're able to respond to feedback much quicker than we were in the past. You'll see we have quotes here from a bunch of influencers in the technology space. They kind of talk about, you know, how Windows 10 really is a renewed commitment from Microsoft to making an operating system that grows with technology. My favorite one is this one in the middle here. The bottom line, Microsoft is going to bend over backwards to make the business transition to Windows 10 as easy as possible. And that really is true. And I think Upgrade Analytics is a testament to that fact, the fact that we're pouring resources into these processes that help you guys upgrade your operating systems within your enterprises more easily than ever before. Now, I'm sure everybody has seen a slide that looks something like this somewhere. This is our release cadence for Windows 10. And just to go through this real quick to explain what's happening here, you'll see the gray bars. This is where we're collecting feedback on our newest builds. So this is the Windows Insider program. So when we have a release of Windows 10, we're going to start almost immediately working on that next release of Windows 10. And through the Windows Insider program, we're gathering feedback on our beta releases, on the early builds of that new version, and we're acting on that feedback. At some point, where you see the blue diamond in there, we're going to declare that build as a current branch. That's when that build is publicly available, and in the consumer ecosystem, customers are able to pick it up immediately. Then in the enterprise ecosystem, that's when we encourage you to start picking up that build, start testing it within your enterprise. Maybe you have a small group of people within the IT department that are going to be on that current branch. You're able to see some of those new features and some of the new changes in that new version of the operating system, but you're not going to roll it out broadly yet. This is just going to be a test to kind of see what's coming next and start to validate some of those apps within your ecosystem. From there, that little blue strip where it says pilot, we want you to spend about 4 months in that pilot phase where you have that small group in the IT department that's playing around with this build. And this is where you're going to identify any, you know, major issues or anything that's something that might have slipped through on our end. And that's going to be that pilot phase for you. At the end of that pilot phase, and again, that's a four-month period, at the end of that is when we're going to declare that particular build a CBB, which is a current branch for business. And that's the point where we're saying that we're comfortable for enterprises to pick up this build as their production build, and you're able to roll it out to the rest of your enterprise. From there, that current branch for business build is going to be supported for a period of 12 months. That's your orange bar, the production up there. And so you'll have 12 months to run that build in production, use it, and then at the very end, the last little gray piece is kind of our soft landing. We have about a 60-day, two-month grace period for you to get off of that build and on to the next build. And so you'll notice, if you look at each build, one on top of the other, there is a lot of overlap from one build to the next. So you do have plenty of time to pilot, test, validate that next build before you actually have to jump off and before support will end. You can theoretically stay on a current branch for business and then skip the next release and then jump on to that CBB plus 2 build. So if I was on the very top Windows 10 build, I could jump straight to the anniversary update, two steps down, without ever being on an unsupported build. So end to end, you'll have at least 16 months with a particular build before it's no longer supported. And then in production, you'll have the 12-month period of support plus that 2-month grace period to jump off of it. So the cadence is quick. Obviously, this is a lot faster than what we've done in the past. In fact, from Windows 7 to Windows 10, we heard that the upgrade process in general took between 3 to 7 years. Obviously, that's not going to work with this cadence. And so what we've done is we've come up with a methodology in how we recommend that you take a risk-based approach to compatibility, and you're able to rationalize over the apps and drivers in your ecosystem using telemetry and using insights from the ecosystem at large so that you can keep up with that cadence. And so what we're recommending is that you focus your testing on the business-critical apps within your organization, and then you want to leverage pilots for broader validation. So you want to, in a sense, test in production that long tail of applications within your organization. And the process looks something like this. You'll start by creating and then maintaining a portfolio of all the apps within your ecosystem. You'll see that you need a complete list of apps, but not only the desktop apps. You'll also need to focus on the web applications, because there's a chance that those might have a different performance on one operating system to the next as well. You'll also want to identify business group and IT experts who are going to own and maintain certain applications. So, for instance, if there's an app that's used heavily by the finance department, you'll need an app owner who can sign off and say, yes, this app performs as I need it to perform on the new build. And then lastly, IT will need to work with those business groups to eliminate the duplicates, define support lives, and you'll need to find ways to either eliminate version spread or cope with version spread. Ultimately, that's a reality. You'll find that you have the same application, 10, 12 different versions within your ecosystem. So you'll have to decide which versions are going to be supported, which ones are we going to have to move our enterprise computers off of, and which ones are we going to not support, but we're not going to force them to migrate, and then we'll handle it as a support call if issues arise. From there, we want you to prioritize. So you'll need to identify which of those applications are critical. And so our guidance is we throw in a couple different importance values up here. You can say that an app is mission critical, which is absolutely must be manually tested. We're not going to migrate if somebody hasn't put their hands on this app. Below that, we say business critical. So this might be an app that's critical for one particular business group or one particular area of the company. We also have important apps. These are apps that we care about, but they're not necessarily critical. We can go without this app for a day or two if an issue is identified. Below that, we have best effort. These are applications that they matter to the organization, but they're not necessarily going to take a high priority when it comes to testing. And lastly, ignore. These are going to be your applications like iTunes and Spotify that will ultimately find their way onto your enterprise computers, but you're not going to care one way or the other whether they function when you upgrade. And then from there, you'll need to validate those business critical applications. So that can be an automated test, whether you have some sort of static analysis or way to validate these applications in an automated way. It could also be some sort of structured manual testing. You can have predefined processes of how you want to rationalize over these apps. You can also leave it up to the app owner within the business group to decide how they want to test each app. And ultimately, the bottom point here is key. You're going to want to target a small percentage of your applications for this testing. So when we say business critical apps, We want to think about that as a very, very small percentage of the overall apps within your organization. Otherwise, this problem becomes overwhelming and unmanageable. And then lastly, you're going to leverage pilots for broader validation of apps. And so this is where you'll actually test in production, and you'll have computers that are adopting the next build of Win10 early, and you'll be able to identify issues in production. These will be with more tech-savvy folks within your organization, and they'll be able to find issues with that long tail of applications in your enterprise without you having to test every single application. So what we've done is we've built Upgrade Analytics with that workflow in mind. We start by giving you an up-to-date inventory. We show you all of the apps and all of the computers within your organization. We also call out any drivers within your organization that have issues known to Microsoft. From there, like I said, we identify the app and driver issues. And so you're able to see if there's an application within your ecosystem that has an issue that's been identified by Microsoft, we'll call it out to you. We'll tell you what the issue is. We'll tell you the behavior you can expect. And we'll also tell you the mitigation that we've come up with and how we've resolved that issue in the consumer ecosystem. Ultimately, Microsoft acts as the IT admin within the consumer ecosystem at large. And so we've done this. When we upgraded hundreds of millions of consumer machines, we went through this exact same process of validating applications, trying to figure out what that experience was going to be. Because ultimately, we don't want consumers to upgrade their machines to Windows 10, have a bad experience, and then need to roll back or need to contact us to ask why their computer isn't working. So this is all of our insight that we gained through that process. We're going to share it with you if those applications are relevant within your ecosystem. Then we want to discover web applications. So we know that in a lot of cases, the applications that are being used heavily within your organization won't necessarily be standard Win32 desktop apps. If you're a web app heavy organization, then you'll really benefit from our new IE Site Discovery feature. This allows you, and it is opt-in, so this is off by default, but this allows you to see which websites are most visited within your organization, and so you can rationalize over those web apps as well. Obviously, we're not able to provide you the same level of insight into your web apps that we can for the desktop apps, as far as Microsoft known issues, but we can certainly provide you the telemetry data surrounding how many people are using each web app. We can give you information such as the dock mode that the web app is being run in, and you're able to rationalize over them through the IE Site Discovery piece. And then we move on to remediation. This is where, if there's an issue known to Microsoft within your organization, we'll suggest a way for you to remediate it. Otherwise, if you can find a remediation yourself for the other applications, you can track that directly in the tool. And then finally, you drive deployment. So we allow you to either export a list of your deployment-ready machines from Upgrade Analytics, and you can import that into your software deployment system and deploy, or you can use our SCCM connector if you're an SCCM user, and you can export that list directly and push out your upgrade through SCCM. And so just to real quick touch on some of the future value of this tool, you'll notice at the top here, we're calling this Windows Analytics. And so Upgrade Analytics is going to be a piece of this Windows Analytics suite. You'll see Upgrade Analytics there on the left, which is available today. It allows you to plan upgrades. In the middle, we have our second piece of the Windows Analytics suite. This one is called Update Compliance. And this one allows you to ensure that your updates and anti-malware updates are, your machines are compliant with those updates within the organization. So you're able to track adoption of the different patches. And then the third piece over here, Health Analytics at the end, that's coming soon, not yet available, but we're working on finding ways to help you reduce support costs and lower the overall total cost of ownership of your devices within your organization. And now if you have really good eyesight, you might notice on the left there where we have the Upgrade Analytics piece, we're calling it Upgrade Readiness. That's because as of March 1st, we will be declaring GA for Upgrade Analytics. So that's when we will go into general availability, And at that time, we're going to be rebranded as Windows Analytics Upgrade Readiness. And so we will fall under that Windows Analytics umbrella, and our piece of that will be called Upgrade Readiness. The idea is that we want to provide an end-to-end tool for you to be able to manage your devices from upgrade to updates, and then the overall health within your ecosystem. And so with that, I do want to do a demo of Upgrade Analytics. So I'm going to switch over to this machine here. All right. And so this here, what you're seeing is the Microsoft Operations Management Suite. This is what we call OMS. It's a log analytics solution, and it's what Upgrade Analytics is built on top of. So you'll notice here that we have our Upgrade Analytics tile. And when I click in, I will pull up the actual Upgrade Analytics solution. And so you'll see our visual workflow here. We start on the far left with our upgrade overview blade. This gives you a very high-level picture of the computers and apps within your organization. You'll see that in this demo workspace, we have 9,000 total computers, and zero of them are considered upgraded. We draw that distinction with what we call a target operating system. So you're able to tell us by coming into the solution settings page within the solution, you're able to select the operating system that you're targeting for upgrade. So for instance, if I were to select Windows 10 version 1607 as my target, any computer that has an operating system less than that target will be considered non-upgraded, and any computer that meets or exceeds that target will be considered upgraded. So once you get from Windows 7 to Windows 10, you're able to change that target operating system and continue using Upgrade Analytics for your next feature update there. You'll also see very quickly that we have 34,000 total applications within this organization. And you'll find often that the number of applications that you think you have within your organization is much, much lower than the number of applications that actually exist within the organization. There's often a very long tail of applications that are installed on only one or two machines each, and that's the real value of this tool, is being able to rationalize over those quickly and in bulk without having to tie yourself down by trying to rationalize over everything. So what we've done is we've broken down the workflow into three steps. You'll see our first step is going to be all about identifying important applications within your organization. The second step is going to be all about resolving issues that pop up. The first piece of that is the issues that are known to Microsoft. The second piece of that are the applications that don't have issues known to Microsoft, but you still might want to look through and rationalize over. We then give you a chance to rationalize over the drivers that have issues known to Microsoft. And then lastly, we give you a way to prioritize the apps and drivers within your organization that need to be tested. And we'll go much deeper into each of those when we come back through the workflow here. And then lastly, our step three is the actual deployment step. We give you an overall picture of the upgrade readiness within your organization, and we also allow you to break it down by groups. You can either define custom queries within the tool to create computer groups, or you can use existing SCCM collections and import those collections into Upgrade Analytics as a computer group, and you can rationalize over the upgrade readiness of each of your collections. So for instance, if you have a collection for each business group, and you wanted to upgrade by business group, you could see that the finance department is 95% ready to upgrade, but the HR department is only 30% ready to upgrade. So let's do finance first, and then we'll focus on HR. And then lastly, at the end here, we have a couple of our add-on pieces. You'll see the first one. We pull in data about the Office add-ins that are mostly used within your organization. This can be particularly useful if you're planning to upgrade Office and Windows together. You'll be able to see a list of the top used Office add-ins, as well as a little bit of information about each one. And then lastly is the site discovery piece. And unfortunately, there is no site discovery piece in this, or no site discovery data in this demo workspace. But this is the piece of the tool that allows you to rationalize over those web apps in your organization. So, and we'll take questions at the end. And so with this piece, you're able to see the top visited websites within your organization. You do have to opt in to sending this data, and you can also select an opt-in level, so you can collect data from every site that's visited, or you can collect data only from local intranet sites. So it's up to you to decide how much data you're going to collect with this piece, but it's particularly useful, as I said, if you want to rationalize over those web apps, because we will give you information about compatibility modes and usage. So if you see that there's a heavily used web app that's running in IE5 compatibility mode, that may be something that you want to look into before you upgrade, because IE5 is a very old version of IE. So now coming back to the beginning here, I do want to talk about each one of these steps in a little more depth. So you'll see that in this step one, we want to prioritize your applications. You want to identify which ones are going to be important within your organization and which ones are less important. So if we click in here, you'll notice first that we have this low install count up here. And there's a little blurb over here that explains that. But basically what we've done is we've taken any application that's installed on fewer than 2% of the machines within your organization, and we've automatically marked it low install count. This represents that long tail of your applications. And we can take a look at these applications. And of course, you can move applications out of this low install count bucket. It is important to realize that anything we mark low install count will automatically be marked ready to upgrade. So if there is an application that you know to have a low install count that you do want to focus on in testing, you'll want to come in, grab that application, mark it as business critical or important, and that will remove it from that low install count bucket. But you'll see, just to give you an idea here, so what I've done here, and again, this is a log analytics solution, and so you can use the log search query language to query over all of the data in your workspace. And so what I've done is I've modified this query to show me how many applications are installed on just one machine. And you'll see that in this workspace, it's 20,000 of them. So 20,000 of the 34,000 applications in this workspace are installed on only a single machine each. And so that's why we do this low install count heuristic. There's really no need for you to focus on these 20,000 applications, because if you did, you'd only be unblocking at most one person. And so any issues with these applications, you can either handle as a support call, or you can say, if this person is the only person within my organization that has this application, it must have been something they installed themselves, so we're not going to support that app. But of course, if there are applications in this bucket, such as payroll apps or tax accounting apps, they're likely only going to be installed on a handful of machines within the organization. You will want to go through and remove them from that low install count bucket so that you can rationalize over them in step two. So coming back to where we started with the importance, I'm actually going to modify this a bit so that we can see the ones that we've not yet reviewed for importance. So we do want you to go through the applications and assign each one an importance value. This is really the only manual step in the process here. This is where you will have to go through each application and decide, is this app business critical? Is it important? Are we going to ignore it? Etc. And you'll save yourself a ton of time down the road by rationalizing over these applications, because these importance values will stick with you when you upgrade from 7 to 10, and then from one version of 10 to the next, and then that version of 10 to the next. So once you do this process once, you're set. And so you'll see, in a lot of cases, these applications will be things that you're not even aware of, or that you don't know what it is, so those you can ignore. In some cases, you'll find applications like DisplayLink Core Software, for instance. Let's say that that's an important app within my organization. I can check it here, go to Select Importance Level, Important, and then I click Save. So you'll rationalize over these. In some cases, we know companies already maintain a spreadsheet of the important apps within their organization. In that case, it's as simple as finding those particular applications, marking them as whatever importance level you want to mark them as, and then clicking Save. So for instance, just to show you an example of how we might find a particular application, if I come up here and let's say I want to find apps by Adobe. I can search for an application with an app name equal to star Adobe star, and the star acts as a wildcard key, so it'll show me any application that has the word Adobe in the name, and you'll see these are all of my Adobe applications. So if you're looking for a particular application, that's the easy way to do it, is just to query for it directly. So in general, what we recommend is taking any app that you absolutely must manually test and validate before moving to the next build and marking that business critical. Any app that you are not planning to test, go ahead and mark that ignore. If you're not going to test it, just mark it ignore, and then in the next step, you can bulk select all of those ignore applications and mark them all ready to upgrade. And then that important designation, the one in the middle, that's going to be used for the applications that you do care about, that are important to your organization, but you're not necessarily going to have time to manually test and validate all of them. So think of that as a time and budget permitting. And so then from there, you can use those importance values in step two when you have to rationalize over these applications. So let's first look at some of these applications that have issues known to Microsoft. And I'm going to modify this query slightly just so we can see all of them on the same screen. And so you'll see that these particular applications, if we zoom in on some of these, you'll see that we give you the issue that Microsoft has identified, which in this case is that the application will be removed during the upgrade. We also give you our guidance, which represents the mitigation that we're recommending for this particular issue. So in this case, the guidance is that the application will be removed due to a compatibility issue, but no action is required on your part for the upgrade to proceed. So we're providing this as an FYI. We're saying don't expect to find this application after you upgrade, but we'll take care of everything for you. So as long as you're comfortable with this mitigation that we've supplied, you can come in, mark this as ready to upgrade, and you'll be good to go. We'll see if we can find one with a slightly different issue as an example. Alrighty, we can do it this way as well. We can come in here, and we'll write a query so we can sort all of these by the issue that the application has. And so you'll see these are some of the different issues that can be identified with your applications. So you can have the application is going to be removed. You can have that you want to evaluate that application. So that means we may have identified issues on certain machines but not others. So give it a shot. See what happens within your organization. We also have does not work on new OS but won't block upgrade. So that's a particularly important one because we're not going to stop the upgrade from happening, but this application is not going to function after the upgrade is complete. And so you're able to see the issue associated with each of these applications, as well as the mitigation that we suggest, and you can rationalize over these, and you'll be able to say ready to upgrade to either acknowledge the issue and the mitigation that we've supplied, or if there's a mitigation you've come up with that you think is better, you can implement that mitigation as well, and you'll say ready to upgrade. Then bouncing back out here. So the next piece of this workflow is the applications with no known issues. And so just because these applications have no issues known to Microsoft doesn't necessarily mean they have no issues. So for instance, this will include any custom or line of business apps that you have within your organization, because obviously Microsoft has no insight into those custom apps. So if there is an issue with those apps, then Microsoft won't be aware of it. So it'll show up in this bucket here. But what you will see is that we do pull in additional telemetry points to help you make your upgrade decision with these applications. So for instance, what I've zoomed in on here is this Ready for Windows piece. So if you're not familiar with Ready for Windows, there is a portal called readyforwindows.com. And what it does is it gathers adoption statuses for various applications within the Windows 10 commercial ecosystem. So for this particular app, we're giving it a Ready for Windows status of adopted. That means that it has been installed on at least 10,000 commercial Windows 10 machines without significant issues. And you'll see we reiterate that definition in the guidance column there. You also might find applications like this one that say highly adopted. That means that it's been installed on at least 100,000 commercial Windows 10 machines without significant issues. And so what we're doing here is we're pulling in this ecosystem telemetry data to help you make a decision on how this application will fare within your organization. And so ultimately, if we zoom out here, the goal with this step two, when we're resolving issues, is we want you to take broad strokes and rationalize over large numbers of applications at once instead of having to manually dig in and validate each one. So for instance, what you can do is come up with your own set of criteria. It's completely customizable to the risk tolerance of your organization. But in a lot of cases, we'll have companies that say, if an application is listed as highly adopted, that's fine. It's already working on 100,000 commercial Win 10 machines. It should work on ours as well. So we can say, ready for Windows equals highly adopted. And we'll be able to get a list of all of those highly adopted applications within our organization. In this case, we have about 2,000 of them. So we can take this list, we'll go to user changes, we can bulk select all of them, and then we'll do select upgrade decision, ready to upgrade, and save. Of course, if this criteria isn't strict enough for you, you might say, that's fine if it's highly adopted, but if it's business critical, I still want to test it manually. So you can come in and say, highly adopted, and the importance does not equal business critical. And if we throw this in here, you'll see we'll take out those business critical apps, and it looks like we still have about 2,000 results when we round. But same idea, we can then bulk select these, and then we'll say ready to upgrade. We can also write queries such as, let's look at the applications that are adopted. So these are the ones that have been installed on at least 10,000 commercial Windows 10 machines without significant issues. So we'll say it has a ready for Windows status of adopted. We'll look for a total install count of less than, let's say, 2,000. So we have about 10,000 machines in this workspace, so that's about 20%. So we need it to affect less than 20% of the total organization. And then let's say monthly active computers is less than 200. So we'll say in this case, looks like we got a query issue here. Try that again. Try it in pieces. Sometimes it likes this better. Maybe it's this one. You don't, so this query language is, it is case sensitive, which is something to get used to. As far as the syntax is concerned, a space is going to be an implicit and. So if you want an or, you can put things in parentheses and, you know, something here or something here. But otherwise, everything's going to be an implicit and. So this will be the total installs less than 2,000. So you'll see we have 5,000 apps that have a ready for Windows status of adopted and total installs of less than 2,000. If I add in the monthly active computers piece, we'll say less than 200. Then you'll see we return, when this loads, we return about 5,000 results. So in this case, we have 5,000 apps within the organization that have that ready for Windows status of adopted, which means they're already on 10,000 machines within the commercial ecosystem, and there aren't significant issues. They're on less than 2,000 of my machines, and they're only being used by less than 200 people within the organization. So if this criteria is sufficient for you to say that this application is ready to upgrade, then you can come to user changes here, you can bulk select, and you'll say ready to upgrade. Nope. Ready to upgrade, and save. And so we've just rationalized over 5,000 of these applications using the telemetry data from within the organization as well as the telemetry ready for Windows data from the ecosystem at large. You can also modify this query if you want to be even more restrictive, even more conservative with your risk tolerance here. You can come in and you can say, well, I want the monthly active computers to be, let's say, less than 10. And we want the total installs to be less than 1,000. And we can also, like we did with searching for Adobe, we can search for, use a wildcard to search for applications that are both highly adopted or adopted in one shot. We'll just do star, D-O-P-T-E-D. And you'll see that we have 7,000 total applications that are either highly adopted or adopted. They are installed on less than 1,000 machines, and they're being used by less than 10 on a monthly basis. So these are the very low-risk applications that we can rationalize over in bulk, and we'll be able to bulk select these, say ready to upgrade, and click save. We can also use much simpler heuristics. We can come in here, and we can look for the applications that we've marked ignore. And so these are going to be all the applications that have that importance level of ignore. And since we've already decided we're not planning to test these particular applications, we can just take this list, and in this particular workspace, there's only 83 that we've decided to ignore, but we can take this list, we can bulk select them, ready to upgrade, and click save. So what we're doing is we have this very broad sword, and we're able to write these queries and come up with our own set of criteria that's sufficient for the risk tolerance of your organization to be able to stroke through thousands of these applications at once instead of rationalizing over each one individually. And ultimately, what that leads to, if we come in here and we look for the applications that have an upgrade decision of anything other than ready to upgrade, we're left with 110 applications that actually require our attention. So once we go through and define all of these criteria that we think are sufficient for us, the only applications that are left are going to be the ones that need to be manually validated or that need to be tested in some way. And as long as you're careful in defining your criteria, none of the applications will fall through the cracks. Because if you mark in step one all of the very important applications as business critical, and then you make sure in step two that you're always excluding the business critical apps from your broad strokes, you'll make sure that they always appear in the list of applications that need to be manually tested. So these are going to be the applications that you need to focus on. But where do you go from there? That's still 110 applications, and we don't have a lot of time to rationalize over them. So what we've done, and this piece is coming soon, it's not yet available in the tool, but we've created what we're calling the prioritized action plan, or the proposed action plan. And that's this last blade in step two here. We call it prioritized app and driver testing, as you can see here. And the idea is that we've taken the apps and drivers within your organization that you've not yet marked ready to upgrade, and we've ordered them in such a way that if you were to rationalize over them in this particular order, you'll get the most bang for your buck when it comes to app validation. So for instance, if you were to test this top application, there's no other application in your ecosystem that you could validate and unblock a greater number of machines. So if we look into this, this will make more sense when we see it. What we're going to get is this list of applications, and I want to see it as a table because this often makes more sense. Expand this a little bit so we can read it. And the important pieces are these down here. So what we're able to see is that for this top application, if we validate this app and we mark it ready to upgrade, 61 of the machines within our organization will be unblocked, and they will become upgrade ready. If we were to also test that second app, you'll see we unblock an additional 69 machines for a total of 130, and then you see the percentage right beside that. So this table is particularly useful if you have a certain amount of time left in your upgrade project or a certain amount of budget left, and you know I'm only going to have time or budget to test 30 applications. How far can I get with those 30 applications? Well, you can scroll down to number 30 here, and you'll be able to see that if you test the top 30, you'll unblock about 30% of the machines within your organization just by validating those top 30. And then if you wanted to look at it in the other direction, you say, I'm not going to pull the trigger on my upgrade until I've unblocked 50% of the machines in my organization. Well, then you can come down and in the table find where we hit 50%, which is about right here, And you'll see, okay, that means I need to test 138 apps and drivers. And so from there, you're able to allocate your resources so that you can hit that 138 apps and drivers before upgrade time. And so you'll notice that in this table, we do put the applications and drivers alongside each other because it is an algorithm-based table that does give you the most efficient order to test these in. So for instance, at the very top here, we'll see that most of the top, looks like 17, are applications. And then number 18 in the table is a driver. A couple other neat things to point out with this, you'll notice that you do get diminishing returns as you test more and more applications. So for instance, this first app, we're unblocking 60 machines, and then we unblock about 70, and then it drops to 30 and 30. And then as we go further and further, by the time we get to the 120th app, we're only unblocking 3, 1, 7, 4 machines at a time. But the neat thing about this proposed action plan is that as you mark these applications ready to upgrade, the table regenerates every day to show you that most efficient order from the current point that you're at. So for instance, if I were to come up here and say, well, this top app is a C++ redistributable, that's not something I'm going to test. It probably got installed as part of a package when I installed something like Visual Studio. So it's going to be fine. We'll mark it. We'll say ready to upgrade. We'll click save. When you come back tomorrow and the data gets refreshed, you'll see that the table has been updated to reflect the fact that you've marked that app as ready to upgrade. So bouncing back up here. And one other thing to call out, I kind of skipped over this review known driver issues blade because it is very similar to the applications in the way that we present the data. But just so that you're aware, I'll show you what this looks like real quick. If we click in here, and again, I just want to see all of them together. So modify this slightly. What you'll see is that for each of these drivers, we'll call out the hardware name, what type of hardware it is. We'll give you the actual hardware ID, and then we'll give you the driver that's being used, the one that has an issue and the one that won't migrate. And then we'll also tell you the total number of computers that it's found on, as well as the issue that Microsoft has identified. So in this particular case, the driver won't migrate to the new operating system. But then our mitigation, what we're showing is the upgrade assessment there, is that you're okay to go ahead and pilot this machine because we're going to pull a new driver from Windows Update. So in a lot of cases, these issues will be resolved for you. The new driver will either be available in box or as an update from Windows Update. But the reason we call them out to you is for cases like this, where you have, for instance, a display driver. So like in my office at work, I have multiple monitors, and I have a highly specialized display driver that allows me to use those multiple monitors. But if I were to upgrade and lose that driver, and we were to pull a basic display driver from Windows Update, my experience would be severely degraded, and I'd have to find a new driver to fix that. So we call this out just to make sure that you're aware of any changes within the drivers in your ecosystem. But in the most usual case, we're going to pull a replacement either from Windows Update or available in box, and you won't have any issues with the drivers. But of course, you can rationalize over each one, and we also give you that availability. In some cases, let's see if I can find a different one. Actually, we can come back out here. You'll see that in some cases, we'll have a driver that is available, this column right here, available in box and from Windows Update. And basically, that's kind of the case I was just describing, where the inbox driver is going to be a basic display driver, but we have an update from Windows Update that will fix that experience. So make sure that either you are aware or the user is aware that once they migrate, they'll have a basic display driver, then they'll just need to pull that update from Windows Update to get that specialized driver back. So then coming back out to the dashboard here, you'll see the last piece, step 3, is going to be all about deployment. We show you a breakdown of the deployment readiness of the computers within your organization. You'll see that in this workspace, most of them are still under review, but we have 91 that are ready to upgrade, and then a handful that won't upgrade. So the logic behind this blade is that once a computer has all of its apps and drivers marked ready to upgrade, that computer becomes ready to upgrade. If a computer has any app or driver that's marked won't upgrade, then the computer becomes won't upgrade, and that computer's ineligible. So this is a good reminder that you want to use that won't upgrade designation on your apps and drivers very sparingly. That's for apps and drivers that will absolutely break and cannot migrate to Windows 10, because it will block those computers, any computer that's running that app, from being able to upgrade in the tool here. You'll see with our computers that are ready to upgrade, we can click in here. We'll be able to see exactly which computers those are. You can get information such as the computer name, the manufacturer, the type of machine, and then you can get that as a list or a table. You can export it to Excel, and you can import that into your software deployment system to kick off the upgrade. Of course, if you are an SCCM user, it's even easier. We have an SCCM connector that you can use to automatically export these upgrade readiness statuses from Upgrade Analytics into SCCM, and you can kick off your upgrade in that way as well. And then this other piece, we have our computer groups blade. So we mentioned this a little earlier. If you are planning to kick off your upgrade by business group or by geography or in any other way in a phased deployment, the computer groups blade is perfect because you're able to drill in to any sort of arbitrary collection of computers that you have. So for instance, if I click into my Microsoft computers group here, and sometimes the groups does take a bit to load, then you'll be able to see your upgrade readiness of the computers within that collection. So again, particularly useful if you're planning to upgrade in a phased deployment. And lastly, just to show you real quick, we do have the Office add-in data. This is just an inventory. The same thing about site discovery. It's important to realize that these don't affect your upgrade. We don't have the ability for you to say ready to upgrade on these add-ins or on the IE site discovery pieces. They're there as an FYI for you to be able to rationalize over your Office add-ins and your web apps if that's something that's important to you. So for instance, with the Office add-ins, we currently don't provide a lot of information about the add-in, but what we will give you is information such as the add-in name, the Office product version, and then we'll give you the names of the computers that they're installed on, so that you're able to rationalize over the most important ones within the organization. And lastly, real quick, before I jump out of this demo machine, I do want to bring up this other piece that we talked about briefly as part of Windows Analytics, is the update compliance piece. This is the piece that's particularly useful once you get to Windows 10. This helps you make sure that all of the computers within your organization are up to date in terms of security patches, as well as other updates that are available as part of Windows Update or WSUS. And so this is a solution. It's also part of OMS, so you can add it to your OMS workspace through the Solutions Gallery. It's available in public preview as of last Friday. And this is kind of that second piece within the Windows Analytics suite. And just to give you a quick idea of what this looks like, looks very similar to Upgrade Analytics in terms of, you know, overall UI. We start with an overview blade that gives you an idea of how many computers you have within your organization and how many need your attention. And then from there, you're able to see information about the Windows 10 quality updates. You can see which particular OS builds are picking up the updates, which ones have already finished, which ones are in progress, which ones have failed. This is probably the most useful piece, is the failed updates, because you can go in and see why those updates failed. You can come down. We also have information about the Win 10 feature updates. So this plays very nicely with Upgrade Analytics. The data, ultimately, once you onboard a computer to Upgrade Analytics, you'll be able to see that data in update compliance as well. So the telemetry opt-ins for Windows 7 and Windows 8, you'll need to run the Upgrade Analytics deployment script. And we do have a publicly available list of the data points that need to be collected for Upgrade Analytics to work. For Windows 10, in order to use either of these solutions, you'll need to set your telemetry level to that basic telemetry level, and you'll get the full functionality out of both of these tools. And so if we do click into these real quick, I I can show you a bit of the information that you'll get from update compliance. So what you'll see is that you have your update deployment status. So we'll show you the total number of devices, and in this case, 93 have failed for this particular update. And so you'll be able to see why they failed. So for instance, file not found. You can click into that. You can see which computers failed. You can see when the update was attempted, and you can push that update out again. So this is that way to, once you get to Windows 10, make sure those devices stay current and have all the latest patches. And then when you're ready to make that jump to that next feature update, that next release of Windows 10, you can bounce back to that upgrade readiness, and you'll be able to rationalize over your apps and drivers for that next build. So I want to jump back to this deck here. So who's using Upgrade Analytics? We already have hundreds of customers using Upgrade Analytics, providing us great feedback. We're currently available in public preview. So anybody's able to sign up, create a solution, or add the solution to their OMS workspace and onboard their machines. Like we said earlier, March 1st, we'll be releasing general availability. So we have some testimonials up here. I'm not going to spend too much time on them, but you're free to look over those. And then also, to call out, we did talk about the Ready for Windows data that we're integrating into Upgrade Analytics. And so this is that Ready for Windows portal. You can find it at readyforwindows.com. There are really two workflows within Ready for Windows. We have the piece that's for IT professionals, and that piece allows you to search for a particular application and see the adoption status within the ecosystem. It'll also tell you if that application has been supported by the ISV. And that, of course, is the data that we do pull into Upgrade Analytics. So the only way to get that data in aggregate is through Upgrade Analytics. And we'll show you that data for all of the applications within your workspace. If you go to the Ready for Windows portal, you do have to search for applications one by one. There isn't a way to download the entire database, for instance. The other piece is for the ISVs. So if you do publish software, we encourage you to jump onto the Ready for Windows portal and add your software to the portal. You can add a support statement for that software and say, yes, I'm supporting this application on Windows 10. And then that information will be passed through Ready for Windows into Upgrade Analytics so that your customers are able to see that you're supporting that particular application. One other thing that we offer is the Enterprise Compatibility Briefing. This is the Accelerate Workshop. So this is available through Microsoft Services. And basically, it's a two-day workshop that introduces some of these concepts of compatibility in Windows 10 and this Windows as a Service model. It uses Upgrade Analytics very heavily. It's something that is, you know, really designed for those IT pros and IT decision makers. It's just a good introduction to the ways that Microsoft is taking compatibility very seriously as part of Windows 10 and how you can use that Windows as a Service model to your advantage by lowering the overall total cost of ownership of your devices, and it also talks about how Upgrade Analytics and the other pieces of the Windows Analytics suite are able to assist you in that regard. So our little call to action here, we want you to evaluate upgrade readiness. Give it a shot. You'll see we have this link up here, aka.ms/upgrade readiness. That will actually take you to the point where you're able to add the solution to your workspace, and you'll be able to, if you don't have an OMS workspace, you can create one. It's important to point out that Upgrade Readiness and Update Compliance are both free solutions. So even though OMS is a paid service, you're able to sign up for a free tier OMS account as well as a pay-as-you-go Azure subscription, and you can link those two, and you'll never pay anything for Upgrade Readiness and Update Compliance because that all the data associated with the ingestion, processing, and storage is not billable. So even though OMS is a paid service, Upgrade Readiness and Update Compliance data is exempt from those payment tiers. Also, get listed on that Ready for Windows portal. If you do publish software, go in there and declare your support for it. If you consume software, which I'm assuming most of you do, go in there and see the adoption status of the software that you're consuming. And also, prepare for and deploy Windows 10 with Accelerate. If you're interested in more information on that Enterprise Compat briefing, we have a link there for you. And of course, when it comes to upgrade readiness, we're always open to feedback. We've been in public preview since July. We've taken a ton of user feedback in that time. And a lot of those new features that we walked through today are a direct result of that feedback we got from our users. So please keep that feedback coming. If you have anything for us, uasupport@microsoft.com. So real quick, I am going to open up the floor for questions in just a second. But before we do, I want to run through a couple of the frequently asked questions that we get quite a bit. So first one, we just touched on this. How much does it cost? It is a free solution. So all of the data storage, ingestion, processing, et cetera, is billed directly back to Microsoft. So you won't incur any charges for that. You're able to sign up for a free tier OMS account, as well as a pay-as-you-go Azure subscription. You will need both of those things in order to use Upgrade Readiness. But you can sign up for the free versions of each, and you won't be billed. Do you have to install some sort of agent on your machine to benefit from Upgrade Readiness? The answer there is no. So we use a built-in operating system component to collect the telemetry data from your machines. So all you'll need to do is, for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 machines, run our Upgrade Analytics deployment script that will set all of the necessary registry keys, which will opt you in to sending the right data. And then for your Windows 10 machines, you'll need to set your telemetry level to basic or higher, and then you'll also need to run that script in order to set the right registry keys so that we can identify a machine as yours and get the right data off of those machines. How much data are we going to be collecting off of the machines? In general, when you run that deployment script, we're going to kick off a full scan, which represents about 2 megabytes worth of data. So if you run it across your organization on 10,000 machines, you can expect about 2 megabytes each. So based on the bandwidth available, you might want to phase that script rollout so that, you know, you're not hitting all of those endpoints right at the same time with a lot of data. What we do after that script is run is every night there will be a scheduled task that's already built into the operating system that checks to see if anything's changed on the computer. So for instance, I run that script. It sends me a full inventory of all the apps and drivers on the machine. And then the next day, I install a new application. Well, that night, that scheduled task will run. It's set to run at 3 a.m. local time. It will identify that a new application has been installed, and that information will be sent to Microsoft. Those delta syncs that are sent every night are much, much smaller. You can measure those in bytes. We've already talked a lot about the telemetry requirements, so I won't go on about that. But again, for Windows 10, basic or higher, for 7 and 8, just that Upgrade Analytics script, and that'll opt you in. Lastly, this is a new feature. Again, as this was a direct result of user feedback, we heard that in a lot of cases, the security teams within different organizations did not like the idea of device names being collected. We include device names in Upgrade Readiness simply as a way for you to easily and quickly identify devices. We know that in a lot of organizations, you'll prefix the device name with a particular geography or a business group. And that's particularly useful with Upgrade Readiness because you're able to write custom queries that will give you groups based on those prefixes in the device name. But if that's something you don't want collected, starting this month with the latest compatibility update, KB, I believe it gets released this Tuesday, you will be able to opt out of device name collection. So we'll obfuscate that, and you'll basically just get blanks where the device name would go. So you've probably seen this slide many times by now, but continue your Ignite learning path. You guys know the drill. Make sure you fill out your session evaluation ASAP. You can win a Spark After Dark drone pilot pass by doing so. I don't know what that is, but it sounds fun. So do that. Also, we really do take the session evaluation seriously, so please do provide any feedback you have for us. And thank you. You can find me in the speaker lounge. I'm happy to talk more about Upgrade Analytics, answer your questions. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I also have my Twitter up there, but I don't really use Twitter, so you can follow me, but you won't get much. So with that, I do want to open up the floor for questions. So I think Ian has a microphone here. So if you do have a question, raise your hand and he'll come find you, and I'm happy to take a couple of those.
Thanks, Zach, for that.
Hello?
Yep, cool.
Oh, nice.
Have you or are you aware of any issues around analytics working behind corporate proxies where you may have to set some exclusions?
Very good question. I should have touched on that. So the question was around corporate proxies. And so we do have what we're calling the auth proxy patch, which is available now. And so if you do use an authenticated proxy within your organization, you will find that sending that telemetry data to Microsoft is a bit trickier than it would otherwise be. But through this patch, what we're able to do is you install this extra KB, which is that auth proxy patch, and then you set a couple reg key values to opt into it. And basically what it's doing is it's going to impersonate the logged on user on the machine to send data through the user context instead of the system context, and that will allow you to bypass those proxies. So you will need to whitelist the right endpoints within the organization so that the user can hit those endpoints, but we do have a way for you to send that data. Very good question.
You mentioned that the data, when you're doing the analytics, it recrunches the numbers overnight or whatever. Is that a fixed time? Is it a 24 hours after you make a bunch of changes so that, you know, being if it's a US time, we're going to know when that change might have happened for us here?
So there are a couple different pieces to that question. And just to reiterate, in case everybody couldn't hear that, the question was around the processing of data and, you know, any sort of delays. I mentioned a couple times that, you know, there's a 24-hour processing is done every night. And so there are two pieces to that. The first one is the data collection off of the machine, which is the scheduled task that runs nightly. That is set at 3 a.m. local time. So for, you know, it's adjusted based on time zone. And that will basically wake up a task on the machine. It scans for any changes to the app or driver inventory, and then it will transmit those changes back to Microsoft. The second piece of that is the data that you see in upgrade readiness. And so with that, we also do batch processing daily. That batch processing is done continually, and so I think in the Pacific time zone, it ends up in your OMS workspace in the late afternoon, like 4 p.m. So here you're probably looking at around, I think that's 18 hours, so like 10 a.m., give or take. So you'll have to adjust that. But basically, we do batch processing daily. So what that means is when we get data on our end, you know, when we get that telemetry data, it takes us time to process it and get it all, you know, squared away and organized in the way we need it to be. And then we'll push that to your OMS workspace, and you'll get a new snapshot every day. And so when you have those changes to your inventory or when you run that upgrade analytics script for the first time, there's typically about a 48-hour delay before you see it in your workspace. So you'll run it on Monday, and then you'll see those computers in your workspace on Wednesday. And the delay there represents the time that we use to process it. And since we do batch processing, it won't make it on the Tuesday train, so it'll have to get picked up on the Wednesday train. Does that answer that question?
Yeah.
Awesome. Exactly. And I will, let me switch to this real quick just so I can show you kind of what we're talking about here. So just to give you an idea, OMS does with the free OMS plan, it has, if you look into the details here, it'll tell you that it has a 7-day retention period. And so we don't want you as an upgrade readiness customer to be limited by that. So what we do is we push a fresh snapshot of your data every day. And that's where that, you know, daily processing comes in. So if I look at the last 7 days in this workspace, you'll see 7 different snapshots here. And so if you were to onboard one machine on Monday, you'd see that machine on Wednesday. And then we would repush a snapshot with that same data on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And we're going to keep pushing a snapshot with all of your data so that it never falls out of OMS. So you're always able to see all of your data. You don't have to worry about that 7-day retention period. And then any updates to your data will be reflected usually 24 to 48 hours after they happen.
There's another question. Sorry, one more. If I've gone through a 1511 deployment, I've done the upgrade analytics, and I've gone through and classified a bunch of applications to certain levels of importance, if later on 1607 or 1702 comes out and they turn around and go, this app is no longer supported, or maybe there's just simply more information about the adaptation of that app, will that update something I've manually applied a value to?
So, good question. So the question was around, you know, let's say I've upgraded to 1511, and I've gone through and I've marked certain applications, I've marked the importance and the upgrade decisions, and I've made all these changes, and then I've gotten to 1511, Now, when I want to move to 1607 or 1703, you know, is anything going to be overwritten? Are any of my changes going to be replaced by different insights? The short answer is no. So all of your user changes will be retained when you do change that target operating system. The only difference is that you'll notice, and I'll come out here just so that I can reiterate how we change that target operating system. But basically, you'll come in on the main solution here. You'll have this solution settings button. You can come in, click there, and there'll be a drop down so that you can select your target operating system down here when this loads. And so you'll be able to select from 1511 to 1607, and you'll click save. And what that'll do is it'll just replace the insights that you're seeing. So, for instance, the database of Microsoft known issues is specific to a particular build. The Ready for Windows data is build specific. So those things will be replaced. We're never going to overwrite your user input based on the changing of a target OS.
Not having used any of these tools before, I'm just asking a hypothetical. I know that probably everybody might be thinking about this, but considering we've gone from 1511 up to now almost 1702, is there likely to be drivers that aren't supported, say like going from 1511 to the latest release?
Okay, good question. So the question was in regards to Win10 to Win10 updates, are there likely to be drivers that aren't supported, or for instance, drivers that are supported on 1511 but then won't work on 1607? The short answer is that Windows 10 to Windows 10 feature updates are, in general, highly backwards compatible. You know, compatibility is a very strong focus when we build, you know, the next release of the operating system. We find, based on telemetry, that the level of compatibility from one build to the next is about 99%. So most of your drivers, and when I say most, I mean the vast majority, will migrate just fine, but there always is that possibility that a few of them will have issues from one build to the next. You may find that you're using a particular driver that's not very pervasive within the operating or within the ecosystem at large. And so when we see that there's an issue with that driver internally, you know, we say, well, it's a very small issue. We're not going to worry about, you know, fixing this. We'll just mark it as a known issue. That's the kind of insight that you'll gain from this tool. So you'll be able to see those exceptions to the 99% rule. And I think we had a couple questions over here, Ian, were there?
Ian. As a Systems Center config manager organization, wondering about the difference between applications discovered versus utilized or executed or in use. I'm guessing that as cool as this tool is, it probably can't really tell me. It can tell me what's there, but it can't tell me how much users are using that piece, and therefore as a matter of prioritizing my efforts for compat testing and stuff. It might be out there a lot, but maybe never used.
Yep. So the question was about application usage. And it's a very good question because, you know, the first thing I called out was, right, is in this workspace, we have 35,000 applications. And most of those may not even be used. So do we really care about those? So what we do is we do have a data point in here for your applications. And I just want to look at all applications so I can show you real quick. We'll show you the total number of installs. And to your point, you know, that's useful information, but you can also gather it elsewhere. SCCM will show you that. But we also pull in this monthly active computers column. And so this is data on the number of people that have launched and used the app within the last approximately 30 days. And so you'll see that for this particular application, sure, we have 1,000 installs, but not a single person has used it. And so we do that in terms of a raw number, which is monthly active computers. And then we also do percent active computers, which is where we bucketize it. And so I'm not sure what this particular workspace looks like, but we can do this. And you'll be able to see how many of your applications fall into each usage bucket. So in this particular workspace, it only goes up to about 10%. So the most used application is being used on less than 10% of the total machines within the organization. And that's pretty typical. I mean, we'll find in some workspaces, you'll have a handful of apps that are on almost 100%. And those will be the, you know, the ones that the IT department is requiring to launch on startup. And those will be, you know, things that are just enforcing group policies, et cetera. But in most cases, you'll see, like here, 31,000 of the applications are being used on exactly 0% of machines. So good question. We've got time for one or two more. Are there any other questions on this? Follow-up question here.
The inventory corrected is similar to the details as SCCM corrected exactly, or is it more or less?
So it's very similar to what's collected by SCCM. If you were to have the exact same computers in SCCM as you have opted into Upgrade Analytics, the inventories would look nearly identical, if not identical. What you'll get in addition with Upgrade Analytics, in addition to that inventory, because again, it's important to keep in mind that with Upgrade Readiness, the inventory is just the first piece of it. We're also pulling in that usage data. We're showing you over here the issues with those applications that are known to Microsoft. There's no other way to get those known issues databases, like that information about application issues that are known to Microsoft. This is the only tool that will give you access to that. We're also integrating with Ready for Windows so that we're able to show you how that application is doing in the ecosystem at large. And we're also giving you this information in the context of an upgrade instead of just as a static inventory within your organization. So that's why you'll be able to, in step one here, identify the importance of the applications, and that'll stick with you. So as you go from 7 to 10, and then, you know, 1511 to 1607, and then to 1703, et cetera, you'll be able to keep those importance values with you and rationalize over the applications using not only the inventory, but also all of that extra telemetry and all of the extra, you know, ecosystem data that we're bringing in to help you rationalize over them. I'm sorry, what was that?
Like SCCM, you have automatic archiving after 90 days. The machine is online, then we archive. Does your system have the same thing?
So that's a good question. The question was about retention for particular machines. The logic that we have built in here is that if we haven't heard anything from a machine in 90 days, it falls off or falls out of your Upgrade Analytics workspace. So if it's been 90 days, we assume that that machine is no longer active. And really the use case for that is if you have a test lab machine that accidentally got your commercial ID on it, or if you got somebody spinning up a VM, that machine won't stick around forever if it's no longer being used. So it'll fall off in 90 days. And I think there was another question here. Awesome.
Just a quick one. I'm sorry if I missed it. Are we able to customize the low install count thresholds for our workspace?
Okay, good question. So the question is around the low install count threshold, and are you able to customize it? So the short answer is no, but the long answer is yes, and I will explain what I mean by that. So there's no way to go in and set your own threshold for low install count. But what you can do is, for instance, what I've done here is I've clicked into the low install count apps, and you know that this is any app that's installed on fewer than 2% of the machines in the organization. And so I believe in this particular workspace, we have about 9,000 machines. And you'll notice that that's correct because, like, this top app is installed on 172, which is right at 2% of 9,000. So if, for instance, I wanted to say low install count is going to be 1% or less, then what I can do is I'll come in here and I want to search for applications that are marked low install count but have a total install count of greater than, let's say, 89. So now what we're saying is anything that has low install count but is on greater than 1% of the machines, I get 86 results here. So I can bulk select these, come to importance, and I'll just say not reviewed or review in progress, then click save. And that removes those applications from that low install count bucket. And so what I've done is I've just set a 1% threshold. So it's a manual process. It's possible. It's not something you can configure in the tool. Does that answer that question? And any last questions? I think we have 1 minute left. Oh, we got three. We'll see who Ian picks. Oh. And of course, if there are any other lingering questions, we can chat after the session or you can come find me in the speaker lounge.